Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back, everybody. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I'm joined in studio by Fred Jackson, and now Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Slash good afternoon.
And that's right. And good evening if you're listening to us in Moscow.
Yes. We got a large contingent of people in Moscow.
Well, you never know. We have an app. It could reach there.
That's true. And you know what? Who knows? Maybe there's people in China. Who are listening. You never know.
They'd have to pay a tax or a tariff of 20% if they're listening to us. We'll take that. It's 20% of zero is what? Zero.
It's zero.
Still free. Okay.
Yeah. We actually do hear from people periodically who are around the world somewhere listening on the app. So as Tim always says, that app was a game changer. During Share-a-thon, sometimes we will get donations from people in places like Washington State or California, and we don't have stations there.
Did you know that you can listen to AFR on Roku?
Yes, I think that's right.
No, it is right. I know because I have the app on my TV.
that's wonderful.
Yeah.
So that would be through the Roku app and not – so you can listen on your computer if you want, but on your Roku, your
television.
If
you're watching TV, you just have it on. Like sometimes people put the – I like to put YouTube – like if I'm doing dishes or something, I want some music, I'll put YouTube on in like a
playlist.
Usually I'll put it on something like Mahler's Second Symphony.
Oh.
Glorious music.
They released a rock album, didn't they?
They did. Second Symphony. It was Queen, I think, did the cover. No, Mahler's Second Symphony is called Resurrection, and it has a choral bit at the end that I performed, and it brings me to tears every time I hear it. It is just the most beautiful music.
Your go-to when you're doing the dishes, and I'm like you, I like doing the dishes. I like cleaning and organizing. My wife mocks me a little bit. But
you let me know what music you like, and I'll have it on for you.
See, what I was saying is when I'm doing that kind of stuff, I'm not going with symphonies. I'm listening to some golden oldies or something. But, hey, to each his own. If it brings you to tears.
Well, one of the reasons I do the symphonies is because it's like a 2 hours long, so I don't have to.
How many dishes do you have?
Well, I don't know, but I have more than 3 minutes worth. So I have to go out every 3 minutes and.
Oh, yes, because you got to go to the.
A new song.
Breaking news, God created dishwashers.
Well, yeah. Work smart, not hard.
All right, Steve, what do you got for us
story-wise? Let's start here. Yesterday, we got a press release. I just found this from Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem. They have arrested an illegal immigrant that says he's going to self-deport, but not before assassinating the president. Hmm. Uh-huh. This is the note he left. I'll read this. We are tired of this president messing with us Mexicans. We have done more for this country than you white people. You have been deporting my family, and I think it's time Donald J. Trump get what he has coming to him. I will self-deport myself back to Mexico, but not before I use my 30-yard six to shoot your precious president in his head. I will see him at one of his big rallies. I think he means 30-06.
Yeah, I was going to say 30-06. 30-yard six.
30-yard six. So anyway, this gentleman, Ramon Morales Reyes, has been arrested by ICE officers. Safe to say he will not be attending a rally for the president.
Wow. Well, folks, you're listening. If you're Christian, please pray for the president, because this is probably not unusual.
I mean,
the left is just there is a bloodlust within the radical left that is shocking. I'm not saying surprising, but it's just startling. And this kind of thing, there are people who aren't going to post it and give advance notice. So thank goodness for, and thank the Lord for Secret Service and the FBI, who keep an eye on these things and investigate and, when necessary, arrest somebody.
It is interesting to note that this gentleman said that we Mexicans are tired of the president. However, the latest poll ratings out, and I'm reading this from MSN, and they found that Hispanic voters were one of the key groups who proved important in the election, but the demographic generally leans Democrat. According to an Insider Advantage poll of 1,000 likely voters, 59.6% of Hispanics approve of Trump's job approval. So he's above water by almost 10 points above.
Right.
So this gentleman saying that we Mexicans are tired of your president, he speaks for himself.
Yeah. Fred, it's I can certainly understand that people who listened to the urging of President Biden.
Yeah.
And when he said, come, we'll give you health care, all this kind of stuff. I can certainly understand their disappointment and their anger, when now the law is being upheld and they're being deported.
Yes.
I certainly can understand that, but they, at least on some level, I would think had to know this free ride was going to end.
Yeah.
And, what are your thoughts on what this guy is saying?
Well, as you said, thank God for our Secret Service. Thank God for our FBI and others that are keeping a very close watch on this. I think it's absolutely incredible what the Trump administration has done since coming into office just over 100 days ago.
Yeah.
When it comes to the security of our border, when you have spots along that southern border where 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 a day were coming across, now it's down to nothing or maybe just a trickle.
Yep.
That's all. So the message has gone out to the world since Donald Trump was sworn into office once again. You're not welcome here unless you do it the right way.
Right.
And that's another thing. It's the way the mainstream media has treated Trump, that he's against immigrants. No, he's not. He just wants people to do it the right way, the way it's supposed to. We have laws. We have a border for a reason, because countries are defined by borders. You know what's really interesting? When you're looking now at some of these European nations that were kind of wide open to immigrants,
right?
Now they're backtracking on all of this because of the problems that happen. Listen, if you're the kind of person that believes I have a right to break into this country and then take advantage of the various programs and that sort of thing, it's not long before you're doing illegal things.
Right. Well,
and you don't appreciate what this country stands for. Most people, I think, who do it the right way say they want to come to America because they think America is one of the finest countries in the world. And by the way, it gives me an opportunity.
Yeah.
Because that's what drove immigration,
right,
through the years. You know, I want the opportunity that America provides for me. And I don't want to break in. I want to do it legally because I want to become a legal citizen. And I want to have the opportunity to, not only for myself, but for my family. That's what immigration used to be about. And unfortunately, under Joe Biden, and, it's really interesting. I don't want to wander too much. Fox lately has been playing some clips of Barack Obama. His attitude towards people,
yes,
entering this country illegally, you are going to be deported, is what Barack Obama said.
Yes.
And unfortunately, under Joe Biden, and I always keep going back to this, when Joe Biden was running for president, what did he say during a debate? I'll invite a surge.
Yes.
He kept his promise, unfortunately, to the detriment of this country.
Right.
I would categorize the Biden surge comment and the Democrats' love of immigrants to the fact that Donald Trump wanted to put up a wall. He wanted to stop it. Barack Obama talked the good game. He said, we'll deport you, but there was a lot of people coming across the border, which is why he wanted to build that wall in the first place. Once Donald Trump said, I'm for a wall or to stop immigration, reflexively, the Democrats said, well, then we want to open borders. Not in those words. Here's another thing I'll add that's a little add-on to what Fred said, which is, even if you come in the right way, you don't have the right to be here. The United States can determine who it wants to let in the country. So if I know this has gone around, one of the immigration people, one of President Trump's cabinets, I think, said something along the lines of, it was Rubio, if we find out you're a student and you're here on a visa, you're here legally, but the reason you came here was to foment this, on campuses, violence and such, you're out. Uh-huh. And the United States has every right to bring in people that will benefit the country. That's what, until Europe, Western Europe opened itself up, immigration traditionally has been, we bring in people who will benefit the country and who want to assimilate. Like Fred, he's doing so well with his English since he assimilated.
Merci bien.
I think except for Quebec, most Canadians speak English.
Really?
I think so. Yeah.
Well, they are the 51st state to be.
They speak English, eh?
Eh?
All right. What else you got?
All right. I know, I'm sorry that Tim is not here to take this story because I know how much he loves a good race hoax story.
Yes.
And so what we're finding out is that Colorado Springs has its first African-American mayor. Colorado Springs, Colorado, is traditionally a very strong Republican stronghold. It is happens to be the home of Focus on the Family. You guys were talking with Alex earlier about that. And a number of other ministries. It was Ministry Central starting in the 1980s. The city gave wonderful tax breaks to ministries that wanted to come out, and many, many did. Anyway, the city itself is still fairly red. However, in the last mayoral election, this mayor, Yemi Mobilade, he ran against a guy named Wayne Williams, a white Republican. So Mobilade ran as a Democrat, a centrist Democrat. They tied, or they were close enough that they had to have a runoff. During the runoff, someone scrawled the N-word on one of Mobilade's campaign signs and lit a cross on fire in front of it. But right fairly close to the election. He won the election. Many people say the sympathy vote.
Yeah.
You know? Well, it turns out that the the mayor was behind the hoax. It was a hoax. The guy that wrote it was a black guy that wanted the mayor to win that wrote the N-word on the campaign sign and lit the cross on fire, and he had been in contact by phone with the mayor prior. So
wow.
There's now, this court case going on.
Has this person admitted to being to doing this on behalf of the mayor with the mayor's knowledge?
Well,
I mean, first of all, the fact that it was a hoax is bad enough. We need more things to divide us in this country. But what is there any provable tie?
Well, they have
the
convicted the guy that did the actual crime or hoax was a guy named Derek Bernard, who they list here as a black media personality in Colorado Springs. He has been convicted last week of faking the hate crime against Mayor Mobilade to gin up votes for him. And this guy testified that the mayor was in on it. So
wow.
That's where they've convicted this guy. Now they're going to be, I'm sure there's an investigation into the mayor of Colorado Springs now.
You know, Fred, I'm not saying there aren't racists in this country. In fact, I'll say there are.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And I'm not saying that there aren't homophobes in this country. In fact, I will say there are.
I don't like that term.
Which term?
Homophobe.
Oh, okay. Can I finish my statement here?
Yes.
And then you feel, you know, after Fred, feel free to jump in here. But I cannot think of a case in which one of these actions of whether it's, you know, scrawling an epithet about, you know, gay people or black people, when it was done by an actual racist or homophobe.
Yeah.
Okay. They almost always seem to be done by those who are squawking the most about whether it's racism or homophobia or whatever term Steve wants to use. And this, I'm not shocked by this story.
Sadly, sadly, that we have people for political reasons are willing to stoop to this kind of thing. I think what has happened in this country, I'll say it, and I'm dating myself here, the discipline that most of us who are over 60 grew up with, you know, in our homes.
Yeah.
We had moms and dads who disciplined us.
Yeah.
We had neighbors, moms and dads, that if we did something bad in their backyard, we were disciplined. We were disciplined at school.
Right.
If we said something wrong. And, you know, and it went on from there.
And then you got disciplined at home again.
Disciplined at home. Our churches would discipline a youth group. So there were guidelines that were in place, and nobody got offended by that because that was the expectation. I think what we're reaping, what we have sown in our culture, is that I have a right to say, to do anything that I want. And by the way, it's all about winning. And if I have to do something that is wrong in other people's eyes, well, I don't care. Right. I mean, it's absolutely horrible. In the last couple of days, what's gone on in the Seattle area, there was the incident of the Christian group. I think we talked about this.
Two incidents.
When you had Antifa members who supposedly were the opposing group, but they created the violence. And then the mayor of Seattle was defending Antifa. But then last night down in Tacoma, just south of Seattle, some people were out at a park and somebody opened fire. Nobody knows the motivation for this, but I think there were five people who were wounded there. So that kind of discipline that used to be in place. When I was growing up, incidents of people just shooting at people, I mean, it was almost unheard of.
Right.
Even in our big cities.
And there were plenty of guns around.
Yes.
At the time.
Yeah. But I think we've taken away those barriers that were meant to be in place to weed out the bad actors, but also to raise the expectation there are rights and there are wrongs. And we expect you as a citizen to behave in a right fashion, because if you don't, there will be real consequences.
Right.
That's the other thing that has happened. We've taken away the consequences. We've taken away the consequences of bad behavior.
Right.
We just let people, well, you know, all of a sudden discipline, even in the home, there was, you know, the new philosophy. Oh, no, just Johnny should go to the corner for a while, or he needs a timeout.
Right.
That sort of thing. No, they need discipline. And I'm old enough to believe that, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child.
Yeah, because that's in the Bible.
Yes.
All right, Steve, go ahead now with the homophobe thing.
First of all, I apologize for jumping in on you.
No, that's okay.
The gate didn't come down in time.
But that's what we do here on this show. Constant flow.
Homophobe, to me, is one of those made-up terms the left has to pin something on a Republican or a conservative because they don't have a real word for what it is, because we're not scared of them.
Right.
That's
what homophobia technically
means. Technically, yeah. And in practice, it's supposed to mean we hate them. We don't hate gay people. We disagree with their choices. We disagree with the assertion that what they do is moral and has value for a society. But it's a disagreement.
Right.
We should be in a civil society. Talk it out. Twitter feed, I'm coming across more and more examples of this. I came across every day I'll hear two or three videos, police videos, body cam videos, of a policeman coming up to a car and telling a person, you need to get out, and the person saying, no, I don't have to. I don't have to do what you tell me.
It quickly escalates.
Yeah, well, they get him out. Generally, but the whole time it's saying, why? You don't have a right to arrest me. You don't have a right to do this. Yeah. I have a right to a phone call. No. And I saw also this morning, you know, it is graduation season, and there was a graduation going on. I don't know what college it was, but the graduates would come up, and one of the administrators had a microphone. They were supposed to say their name and their major into the microphone and then walk up and get their diploma. Well, this one gal wanted to say more, apparently. So when the college professor, whoever was holding the mic, pulled it away and started to go to the next person, this gal grabbed the mic, literally wrestled it away, almost put this administrator on the ground, walked off saying, my name is blah, blah, blah. I'm graduating today with a degree in blah, blah, blah. And you didn't, since you didn't give me my time to say what I wanted on my day, this whole day is now about me. And she slams the mic down on the grass.
A literal mic drop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, it's clear our society, at least, I don't know how big the percentage is, but there is a significant percentage of our country that, and this cuts across all, you know, categories of people, but a significant percentage that just think the rules don't apply to them. And really, when we were talking about one of the last stories, when you have the president of the United States saying, we know it's breaking the law, but y'all come anyway, what is that telling the people who live here and are trying to live by the rules? It's that the rules don't apply. And
when they introduced victimhood, when being a victim started being currency, then you could claim victimhood, and that gave you the right to
free pass.
Yeah, free pass to free do pass. Whatever, however you wanted to act.
Yeah. Sure. All right. What else we got?
Every year up in the Great White North, Fred again will know about this. The their parliament starts with what they call the King's Speech. The Queen was before, but now the King Charles comes over and he sits down and he gives a speech to open the Canadian Parliament, because Canada is still part of the Commonwealth of the United Kingdom. And interestingly, this is the way King Charles started this particular King's Speech. This is cut nine, and Adam will bail out of this in the middle. I'll just tell you when to cut. Cut nine.
I would like to acknowledge that we are gathered on the unceded territory of the Algonquin and Anishinaabeg people. This land acknowledgement is a recognition of shared history as a nation, while continuing to deepen my own understanding.
So,
well, Fred, let me just say this. I've said in the past that the British accent makes people sound smarter. But not in this case.
No.
Listen, this kind of virtue signaling, we see this a lot on the part of countries and politicians and celebrities and people who are of political importance, as in this case, doing the virtue signaling to hopefully make everyone think that you are woke. Okay. But the fact of the matter is, why talk about shared history? Why? I mean, listen, we certainly want to increase understanding amongst different groups. But the fact of the matter is that the British and the French, in fact, they fought over it. They took Canada.
Uh-huh.
They conquered it. And they took the land from the people who, so did we. Uh-huh. And so do countries all through history.
So did the people we took it from.
Yes, that's
right.
They
took it from someone else, too.
I always say, listen, you want to talk about the Native Americans, the Comanche Indians wiped out entire tribes. They don't even exist anymore. Okay, so this is part of the sinful nature of man. And certainly don't want to excuse that kind of thing, but don't virtue signal, because Canada's not giving the land back.
Well, I think he should. He's the king.
Yes.
He should just give it back.
All right, you get your final comments. You get 30 seconds, Fred.
Yeah, it's usually called a speech from the throne. Very unusual for the king or the queen to come and do that. By the way, he doesn't write that speech. It's the government of Canada.
They did it.
The Prime Minister's office writes the speech.
Oh, wow.
So they have the new Prime Minister up there, Mark Carney. He was just trying to score some points.
The other shoe drops.
I'm not a fan.
Yeah, no, you made that clear.
Yeah.
All right, folks, that is all the time we have for this edition of Today's Issues. Tomorrow, Lord willing, we're going to have Trivia Friday. We're just going to kick back. We're coming in and shorts, short sleeves, shorts, flip-flops. Not really, but we're going to have some fun tomorrow. More great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. Lord willing, we will see you tomorrow.